Bill, tell me first of all the kind of work that you do with the council.
Well, Chuck, I've been with the council for a year, and I guess my most visible responsibilities with the council will be to coordinate the Belt Wide Cotton Conferences, which we're at right now, and to revive the cotton physiology education program, of which the Physiology Today newsletters were a component of that, and probably the most visible component. There are some other aspects of that program as well, but those are probably my two most visible aspects of that.
Well, looking at the conferences here in Nashville, anything you can tell me about, I don't want to say attendance numbers, people are always interested in that, but how's it going? I mean, we're like halfway through it, I guess, or maybe a little more?
Yeah, Chuck, we're just about to the halfway mark. We're almost to the end of the production conference, and you know, I get a lot of questions sometimes on production conferences. You know, it seems like it's a conference, but you know, if you kind of go back to the history, the first annual production conference was in 1955, and you go back to some of the other technical conferences, the inset guys, and there was a mechanization conference in 1947, and so we've kind of served as a purpose to bring all the different conferences together. But for the production conference, We're winding up on that, and this afternoon we'll kick off all the technical conferences. Now this year, and kind of in line with the technical conferences, something that in my previous life as a state cotton specialist and working with the other state cotton specialists and in the IPM specialists from the various states, oftentimes the crop consultant was a customer or a segment of the industry that really kind of got left out. And this is something that we've been wanting to do for a long time, and just, I guess, the planets were all aligned this year. And we were able, and with a lot of hard work from a lot of folks from other states, we were able to put together a cotton consultant conference. And we put together a program that, based on what we felt like the consultants needed, we were able to work with a few consultants, and it was pretty well received, well attended, neighborhood of 150 to 200 people, depending on what time you looked in the conference. We had roundtable discussions, or, you know, it's not very often we have the experts from the different fields. You know, we have the Stanley Culpeppers, the Alan Yorks, the Roger Leonards, Gus Lorenz, Angus Catchett. You know, we have, you know when you think about stink bugs in cotton, you know, Jeremy Green, I think, is one of the experts. We have all these guys here. The consultants can come in, and they can talk to the experts in the different disciplines. And there's not many places where you can do that. So we want to take advantage of that and have some open exchange with the crop consultants with them. Because the crop consultants, you know, you go a number of years back, and used to they were just bug checkers. Now then, they consult. They're a major part of the decision-making process with our producers. And the producers expect them to have technical information on all the new things that are out there, new ideas, new technology. So this is a place we can help meet their needs. And then we go into the production conference. This is geared toward, you know, what do the producers need? And we're wanting to make this conference to be what they need it to be the best cotton farmer they can. That's my goal with the production conference, and that's what we're trying to do. And then we'll go into the technical conferences, allow the researchers, the extension, an opportunity to exchange ideas, share some of their research findings, and work, you know, try to establish a way that we can develop new technology and incorporate that into existing production practices. That's kind of
that's a good overview.
Together. Yeah, kind of a good overview.
And how do you feel about the attendance this year?
Well, starting off, usually the first afternoon is slow. We had the consultant conference, and then Monsanto brought a big group of farmers in, and we registered more people that first afternoon than I think we ever have. I think our attendance is going to be up from last year. We have a number of the researchers that come in. They'll be registering this morning. By noon today, we'll have a lot better count, but we feel like we're going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of about 3,000. And last year we were, you know, a little over 2,800. So, you know, if you look at the industry and kind of where we are now, acre dropped, and the part of the country we're in, when you got to the Mississippi River, the guys over here, they just could not get a rain. And I know up in the Midwest had some of the same problems. But northern Alabama, western Tennessee, those were some areas that were hardest hit. And those were, and that represents a big portion of our drive-up people that would be coming to this, and I know our attendance has suffered as a result of that. But all in all, I think we've had a pretty good session so far.
So I don't know if you've been able, at least anecdotally even, to get an idea or a feel for how things are looking as we go into 2008. Do you, you know, what's sort of the mood of the people that are here?
Well, you know, there's a lot of question marks of what's going on. Certainly, you know, if you look at some of the commodity prices, the bean prices really have a lot of people, you know, scratching their head, wondering what to do. And a lot of people are going to keep a pretty good level of flexibility going into the season. You know, most of the guys here are cotton farmers, and that's generally what pays the bills. But, you know, we've got cotton farmers that are growing grain. People are maintaining that flexibility, and a lot of people feel like that the market's going to buy some acres and are looking at prices, but they're not committing to any one thing right now. And you know, we've got the commodity prices, but again, as you well know, the input prices have a big factor in determining what people plant. And I feel like as a result, we're going to see a shift away from corn acres this year and may go back into cotton. Some people I've heard are having difficulty getting the variety of beans they want, and as opposed to going in with a maturity group that they're not wanting to plant, a lot of them are going back to cotton. So there's still a lot of uncertainty out there, but fertilizer prices and other inputs are certainly having a big play in a decision.
Well, going back to what the Cotton Council is doing, especially from an educational standpoint and with consultants, like you said, what are some of the other things that you might want to point to, besides the belt-wide here, the resources that you have that producers or consultants should be aware of?
Okay. Well, you know, as we go through the season, the Physiology Today newsletter is going to be something that's going to be going out. At the Beltwide this year, there's a number of things that were launched or unveiled. One of those is the eExtension website. It's going to be a wonderful place to go, kind of one-stop shopping. Because if you look at a lot of the University of the Land Grant websites, there's a tremendous amount of information there. And coming from that myself just a year ago, I can speak to sometimes it's hard to find. Even in the Arkansas site, there were, you know, Dr. Don Steinkraus has a wonderful publication on spider mites. But if you didn't know where to go, it was hard to find. So we were getting the best of all the websites from the different land-grant universities and putting those together in one place. And the Southern Region Extension directors were wonderful in terms of seeing the need for that. And they funded that project put the initial funding of that together outside of the grant network to put that. So the extension cotton specialist and the other disciplines have worked good to get a website up, and it's going to continue to get better. So we've got that people can use as a resource, the Physiology Today newsletters, and as a foundation for that, something that we put together. And it's been 3 years in coming. Bear Crop Science has helped facilitate the efforts to put together best management practices for cotton. That effort started off to look at just the first 40 days. Because, you know, a large portion of the yield potential is set and established during the first 40 days. That's very critical in getting off to a good start. But then going from the fruiting to finish is something, you know, you start good and you need to finish good. And that was intended to be two different publications, but everybody that worked together, we had extension people, we had research people from across the belt, we had consultants involved, and a lot of times when you think of something like that, you may think, well, you got the agronomist, the pathologist, we had the economist, we had all the disciplines put in together, because everything really has an economic, you know, goes back to economics. So I think Bear did a good job of bringing in the right people and getting us together in groups and have facilitated discussions, and then they kind of sit back in the room and let it go, and let it chart its own course. And that's a publication that I'm going to use as the basis, working with the other state extension and researchers, kind of for the foundation for the my education program through the council with the newsletters and so forth. So I'd like to think that they could look forward, the consultants, the producers look forward, and even the, you know, the fertilizer dealer, the guy behind the counter. I hope that we have a lot of good information out for them to use as a resource, and these are going to all be in conjunction with the the state cotton education programs around. So I think it's going to be a good teamwork.
Well, I could suggest one. I mean, why don't we have the Bill Robertson Cotton Education blog and just start writing about all this stuff on your own blog?
Well, that's something I've got introduced to blogs here, and I'm a little bit of old school on some things, but you know, some old dogs can learn new tricks. I've got the birthday coming up next Wednesday, big 50, but I don't think it's too late to get into that. But I've just not ever really looked at it. I think that would be certainly something I need to look at.
Just an idea we'd throw out there, because it really has seemed like we've seen a huge growth in the use of agricultural new media like blogging and podcasting just over the last about less than 3 years, really. So I know I've gotten a couple emails just since I've been here at the conference from people looking, are there any statistics about how farmers and even cotton producers are using these? They're on the web, we know that, but do they read blogs? Do they? And the answer, I think, is of course they do, but who's got the research that actually shows that yet?
Right.
So as you look forward to this season through this year, sounds like there is, I think you said it, a renewed sort of emphasis on the whole education area and providing some good resources for growers.
Right, exactly. Through best management practices, and then as we get a farm bill, in terms of conservation issues, we're certainly expecting to see some differences there, and there will be some educational efforts for the new components of the farm bill. So I've got a pretty full plate, so it looks like that there'll be plenty for me to do. But just like you were inferring to with the podcast and the blogs and all that, I realize that you can have the best information, but you have to get it to people. And I've already, a lot of consultants are text messaging one another on their phones. And I know some people that are looking at newsletters on a subscription basis through text messaging. And so we've got to be able to communicate with our customers the way they want to receive the information. So that's something that we're all looking at evolving. And hopefully we're not too far behind the curve.
Well, I want to thank you very much, Bill, for taking time to talk with me here at Beltwide Cotton Conferences. I'm Chuck Zimmerman.